wanted to check out the set of DJs. Let me invite the department to prepare a document for us. So it's very helpful. It's very helpful. Just as we can show the rules of press. Of our request.
front, they went over the meeting of the group, they got the management versus the
front.
Oh, sorry. Apologies. They went over the definition or the argument around the definition of disaster management versus disaster risk management. So in response to these definitions, we just want to indicate again to the committee that we have really looked into definitions quite a lot, and there's a lot of different opinions around definitions from the academic field but also from the practitioners. As a principle, we use the United Nations terminology that was published in 2009, so that our definitions are aligned with that. And then furthermore, if there were new definitions that came from the International Panel on Climate Change, where they looked specifically into disaster management and disaster risk reduction, we used the more updated version in the document that they published in 2012. So in relation to the three definitions that were in contentious, we believe that adaptation should remain as it is, and we shouldn't introduce new things like global change to the document, because the Act doesn't really talk about global change. Then in terms of climate change, we contend that we need to use the definition of climate change and not go to climate variability that was also suggested, because it is in alignment with the international terminology and also our own national terminology in the climate change response white paper. And then disaster risk reduction, the department does not really feel very strong if we go back to the 2009 definition that they suggest, which is a little bit more descriptive, but we are also comfortable with the definition that we have proposed according to the 2012 document of the IPCC. So I think the committee can decide whether the current definition is appropriate, or if they want to consider another definition. Then the arguments around disaster management and disaster risk management, there's a whole explanation in the document which you can read if you want to discuss that further. But our argument is basically based on the current definition of disaster management in the Principal Act. It's very comprehensive and it contains all the elements of disaster risk reduction, disaster risk management, and also emergency management. So our definition is quite comprehensive to deal with all the elements of disaster risk reduction.
We stick to just my own statement. We are sticking to climate change.
The definition there.
Yes.
I think the department is saying the adaptation is much broader. Climate change. I think they're pressured here. And then open.
then South Africa has through page by page, because we don't have a member going for page 17 on your page. It's very complex sometimes this process.
Okay.
Say that too.
Can we then move to clause 2?
Let us move to clause 2. Clause 1 is about definition. Clause 2 is page.
17.
Page 17 is original clause, okay? I mean, Minister 25.
That is correct. The original clause is that the Minister must establish a National Disaster Management Advisory Forum consisting of various representatives. What we propose in the amendment is to specifically refer to traditional leaders as recommended by the National House of Traditional Leaders, established by Section 2 of the National House of Traditional Leaders Act 2009. And the purpose of this amendment is to make provision for the National House of Traditional Leaders to recommend traditional leaders to serve on the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum. In terms of stakeholder input during the presentation, Nkosi Mavhunga pointed out that the National House of Traditional Leaders deliberated on the bill and applauded the efforts of the department to include traditional leaders nominated by the NHTL. So he pointed out that traditional leadership can play a key role in preventing disasters from occurring on traditional land and suggested that the development of disaster management plans must be consulted with the traditional council. In terms of the department's response, we welcome the views and support of the National House of Traditional Leaders, and we acknowledge that the process to develop a disaster management plan involves consultation with various stakeholders, and specifically also the traditional leadership.
Well, I think it's much better. I think we are clear, all of us, we have to respond, but it's a very important role. And of course, it's a broader civil society process. Page 18, what do you want us to do then?
18?
Clause 2B is also in addition to Section 5 of the Principal Act, and what we are proposing is that the forum also serves as the South African National Platform for Disaster Risk Reduction. The purpose of this amendment is to provide for the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum to serve as the South African National Platform for Disaster Risk Reduction to fulfill its obligations in terms of global commitments on disaster risk reduction. Some of the stakeholders' inputs, it was actually only Dr. Jordan, who provided inputs on that, and he wanted the platform to be called the Disaster Risk Reduction and Response. But what we are saying as a department is that this is actually only giving a recognition to the formal international context where all over the world the national platforms are established for disaster risk reduction, and it gives the official entry point for the United Nations system to talk about these matters to governments across the world.
Okay, close to B. Platform, that was the national platform.
Chair, just a comment on that. By adding in and disaster response, we're not actually limiting the platform in any way. We're actually saying it's the national platform where these things will be discussed. I don't understand why we exclude it. I think it's a justifiable addition.
The National Disaster Management Advisory Forum remains. It is still the official name is still the National Disaster Management Advisory Forum for South Africa in terms of our legislation. It is just an additional recognition to say this forum that we already have discussing disaster risk reduction, response, emergency management, all those things will also be called or also be recognized officially as the National Platform for Disaster Risk Reduction. So it's really only to give that international recognition to the existing platform.
because it's all inclusive, really. All other forum will be left to respond to the drought. So there will not be drought for another 100 years anyway. Except some drought in Christie. Some water somewhere in housing. Or in my phone. Not the drought for education for life. Not that. Except the water, this drainage water system problem. Okay. I think those 2B we are fine really. South Africa is not for what we have done with. This is what we are proposing. Okay. Traditionally there are cover. Civil society brought to cover, and this platform allows us that area. I think we are fine. Yes, can we move to clause 3 if you want us to take that one?
Good. Clause 3 is on page 19. The original clause in the Principal Act talked about the National Disaster Management Center, which is established as an institution within the public service. And the National Centre forms part of and functions within a Department of State for which the Minister is responsible. The amendment that we propose is to take out the portion that says within a Department of State. The only reason for that is to provide for the legal consequences of the possible establishment of the National Disaster Management Centre as a government component in terms of the Public Service Act. And basically we just want to remove legal restrictions to allow for the NDMC to serve as a government component and a relevant and suitable organizational form in terms of the Public Services Act, which was only introduced after the Principal Act was promulgated. Well, it's actually a consequence of the previous one, and it's just indicating the original clause is saying that a person appointed as the head of the National Center holds office in the department on terms and conditions set out in a written employment contract, which must include terms and conditions setting performance standards. What we now say is we are just once again taking out the end of the department. That is correct, yes, so that the head of the center can report directly to the minister.
Okay. The underlying one is inserted. Is that correct? Clause 5. That one is also taken. Clause 5, what do you want us to do there? Question 11 or there?
Clause 5 is again a consequence of the original clause 4 amendment. So it's just basically making provision for the end of the center once again to report to the minister and seek on the person when somebody must act, it must be an appointment on the minister and not the DG.
Okay.
Okay. Chair, are we fine?
Yes, sir.
Just before we go off this thing, the minister's responsible for appointing the head or the acting head. I have no hassle with that. What I have a problem with, though, is that there are no reporting structures here. It doesn't. The Act doesn't specify that the head of department must report to the minister or is accountable to the minister. It's just that he appoints that person. Sorry, let me expand on that. When the person is in the department, there is defined departmental structure and lines of reporting. Now this person is outside of the department and the whole institution is moving outside of the department, there's nothing in the Act that says the person must report to the minister.
No. The team, you follow what the point is raised.
I think it is... Although it it's not prescribed, I mean, it's also not prescribed, the reporting mechanisms are not prescribed, but if the minister appoints a person, that person is accountable to the minister. So it functions under the jurisdiction of the minister. So that is kind of the implication.
The original one saying that the director general will appoint. Then assume that a person appointed by the director general will report to the director general. This one now is appointed by the minister. Assume that he's going to report to the minister. Those who are appointed by Melhem must report to Melhem.
I think that must have a look at this and try and avoid a situation where everybody sees himself or herself as when I say everybody, I mean, it's a bit of an exaggeration, but what I mean is that we must try and avoid a situation where people don't have someone they can account to immediately in terms of their day-to-day work. Because I think there's no way that the minister can monitor in an ongoing way what happens outside of the general standard bureaucracy of the organization. I think it's critical that we should try and avoid that. Because also, I think the minister can easily be held responsible for something that should have been administratively done and managed over Twitter. So I think there's confusion there about the way the structure is supposed to link up with the minister. It may be a good idea to have the type of DG, head of department type arrangement, rather than direct accountability.
I also concern with Harun Masson, but this is not the moment. This is there are going to be a function within a department.
Mm-hmm.
So if we give it to the minister, it will act as a board. We support to the minister.
No, I'm covered, Chair, because I was looking at this matter and correctly put it that why don't we leave this person under his function being the person direct to the director general, even though he's appointed by the minister. The minister remains as an appointee, but he reports the function to the director general. Otherwise, we will equate him with the director general, you know, all of them fighting for the space to report to him.
Thank you. I think the process of establishing a government component will be dealt with under the Public Service Act. And the consultation we had with the Department of Public Service Administration actually advised us to take out these provisions because because of the functioning of a government component or an agency, that is how it is structured. If you look at MISA, which is currently a government component, they report directly to the minister. So that is all the detail of the reporting will become very clear when the government component is formally established, and it is established in terms of another piece of legislation, not this legislation. So the government component will be established in terms of the Public Services Act, and there are certain provisions in that specific legislation that says it shouldn't report directly to the Director General. So that is the only reason why we took it out to remove the restrictions. But he doesn't say, you know, we can still report in a way that is necessary.
Okay. That's the point that is raised, really. I thought also there was a debate, I think, even amongst us, on the point of who reports to who.
Mm-hmm.
The point was raised by the stakeholders sometimes that in other countries, a person in that area is in the premier's office or president's office. But I think we're giving more weight that the political responsible person must give it this much. They must be reporting on that area. But of course, they are advised by the CPSA that they must try to do that in terms of their answer. Yes. Yes, sir.
I think Chairperson, I want to check if the clause 4 and clause 5 are together, because clause 4 they include that the permanent person, their contract, they mention about their contract there. And I want to check if that's right. The end of contract, they say that the accountant, the DG, or the ambassador, or whatever thing. So, but under clause 4, when you read appointed, the person appointed as the head of the National Center or office on the term of condition set out in the same employment contract, which must include the term of condition set in performance standards. And I was just leaving this room.
Okay.
Chair, thank you. Chair, I think you should consider MISA as a similar example is not quite accurate. MISA isn't established in terms of an act. MISA is established in terms of a presidential proclamation, in terms of the Public Service Act. But this is an entity that is being established or governed by its own legislation. And I think we need to look at it in terms of those lines. The legislation must then structure the organization. So in that regard, I would look at something like the National Prosecuting Authority, which has a section that specifies that the minister is ultimately accountable for the operations. I can just read it to you as an example. And I'm not saying as an independent Chapter 9 institution, I'm just using this section of the NPA Act as an example. The minister shall, for the purposes, exercise final responsibility over the prosecuting authority in accordance with the provisions of this Act. So he or she is ultimately responsible for the entity. To enable him to perform his responsibility, the entity shall, at the request of the minister, furnish the minister with information or a report with regard to any matter, subject, etc., raised by the minister. Provide the minister with reasons for any decisions taken. Furnish the minister with information. Furnish the minister with information regarding policy directives. Submit reports. Arrange meetings between the minister, etc. What it does is it defines the role of the minister in relation to the entity. Now, I'm just using this as an example. I'm not saying that we need to be the same as the NPA, and certainly not an independent Chapter 9 institution, but I'm using the reporting structure and the access to information and saying that the minister is held responsible for the actions of this entity.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Chair, there's a, for the lack of a better word, administrative and a functional response. Now, administratively, the Director General is the accounting officer, and in terms of the Public Finance Management Act, there are clear issues that are related to that. And whoever is the head of the center within this department will have, in terms of the administrative issues, the direct line of reporting to the Director General.
Yeah.
The difficulty is that the Act is an assigned, prescribes disaster management as an assigned function by the President. So the President can tomorrow morning decide that he's moving disaster management to the Department of Justice, and he assigns that minister to take responsibility for that. And it was on that basis that in the deliberations that we had with the Department of Public Service and Administration, they said, let's take the limitations out to make the mobility, number one, to comply with the Act, and secondly, the reporting structure in the business case and the feasibility study that was done in terms of creating a government component, there is a clear delineation of what the roles and responsibilities are and the reporting lines. So if in the case of the disaster management or in terms of disaster management where our minister says that all support all functions are going to be on a shared service basis. So all the functions that relate to finance, supply chain, all the administrative and logistical side of things will report to the Director General, because obviously he's the accounting officer, he holds the purse. It's the functional issues that supports about, that you report directly to the minister. If there is a disaster that takes place, like for instance in Malawi, and I get a call at 2 o'clock in the morning, the person I have to speak to is the minister, because the minister says release the people to go or not, because he speaks directly to the president to say we've got a request from this country. So there is a political dynamic over there, and it's on that basis. So it's not going to. I think the amendments are not going to tamper too much with the role of a director general in the department where the function has been assigned to.
Okay, so can we pause this, colleagues?
No, I just want to say that the chairperson, what would be very useful is the kind of issues, explanation of the kind of issues that he is raising. Just practically, to say what happens when a disaster strikes, right? And just explain that it was not too much technical articulation. Practical, I mean, what happens? And then the other one is this thing that we call functional. On a day-to-day basis, when there's no big disaster, how will the structure operate and functions? Who reports to who? Because if these things are not clarified and so on, we run the risk, Chairperson, later on of having a very complex structure. Suddenly we found one thing when it is needed to do the actual work, or where there's confusion and lack of clarity on accountability, and the structure becomes a very big burden to government or adds unnecessary tension when things could be done differently. So if you can just spend a few seconds just explaining that so that all of us are comfortable. Or at least we'll be comfortable that the conception is a bit clearer, and that we're going to be happy, not maybe not 100% happy, but somewhat happy about it.
Chairperson, I'm going to try. In terms of Section 26 of the Covenant Act, the responsibilities in the event of a national disaster are quite clearly spelled out, and it says the national executive is primarily responsible for the coordination and management of national disaster, irrespective of whether a national state of the disaster has been taken in terms of the Act. So if there is a national disaster that happens, there's a couple of committees, for instance, that do committees. The committee that is led by the Minister for Cooperative Governance, who is and he calls all the political principals, and I head the committee that deals with the actual administration and the operationalization of dealing with disasters. So that is the formal structure in a disaster strike. And that relates to national disasters internally. Externally, it's the same process. There would be a country that is in need. They would want South Africa to participate. It would go through the Department of International Relations, who will speak to the President. The President will call our Minister, and then they will have an agreement on that. And after consultation, the President says it's go, and the Minister will give the instruction to deal with whatever. In the same way as what we dealt with the disaster we had with South Africans in Nigeria. So it is the function of the national executive. So the ministers do play an important role. In terms of the... Sorry
to disturb your thoughts. No, I mean, I can relate to this thing of sending people to elsewhere. If there's a problem, there is a disaster in this country where the Himalayas are, what is it called again?
Nepal.
They read of it, it's happening in Nepal, sending people there. I can relate to that. But I want to understand what will happen when we have a national disaster, a problem in South Africa. What are the processes? That's really what I'm interested in.
Can I tell
us
my understanding though is that the Principal Act has a director general.
Yeah.
The amended one, after consultation with the DPSA, they were advised that it's unlimited because it's an assigned function by president.
Mm-hmm.
President can assign it tomorrow to Department of Defense, whatever department. That makes it broader. And that's why there is a proposal for this person, also by head, the management center. And then surely it must account to director general, but also account directly to the minister, because the function is assigned mm-hmm. to the minister. And I think that's what the point that they're raising, that they're advised by the Department of Public Administration that they should put a limit out, leave it like that. I think that's the point that they were raising earlier on. And then if you want to reinstate the Director General, then it's our decision. It would be unwise though to do so unless we meet mm-hmm. with the Director General of the Department of Public Administration. So there will be a rationale why the court should be amended to get rid of the general. I thought also that was our feeling though. First, there was a presentation by the doctors who were arguing very strongly that in many other countries, disaster is related to the presidency, in many other countries. But in our situation, the minister, assigned by the president, to put this over.
But this, I read, the person appointed to be the head of the National Center of the World Office in the department. One is in the department, there is a director general in the department. And there is now the head of the national appointment in the same department, which is headed by the director general. So you are having two people in the same department doing a function. So the other one is the director. He directs the day-to-day operations of the department.
No, but I'm covered when you were alluding on this business. But just so what on mine was the question based after before you have said that it was debated a lot in the office last time when we were here. Mine was based on when there is no disaster, what happened in this office? Where the person that is accounting to now you're to me now. I'm fine with that, Chairperson.
The if you read the whole content of the Act, it's not only dealing with physical disasters on a day-to-day basis. There's a huge emphasis on risk reduction. And risk reduction covers a whole spectrum of activities that do take place. We've got a section, our policy section, that is responsible for the framework, that and we've got the other sections that deal with fire services. So the operations on a day-to-day basis is not only limited to actual disasters, but it's also in the prevention, which is the risk reduction part, which is quite huge.
Okay, colleagues, maybe we should come back if we are. We can sleep over this much. And of course, the amendment was not proposed by the committee, it was proposed by the department, the Department of Public Administration. And let us work on it and we can come back to it if we think that we should retain
arguing for, sorry, I don't think we're arguing that the Director General be reinserted there. I think what we're saying is that, and colleagues, correct me if I'm wrong here, that there needs to be lines of reporting that that we need to clarify that the Minister can at any time request the Centre and the head of the Centre to report, to furnish information, etc., etc., to account for what they're doing. At the moment, the only reporting that is specified is an annual report in terms of Section 24 of the Principal Act. And my concern is that we just don't have that structure in place in the Act.
Chair, just to try and assist, and it doesn't only relate to the Disaster Management Centre, it relates to all senior officials, all our colleagues, our DGs and our DGs and stuff. We've got very clearly defined performance agreements, and the performance agreement that you sign with the Minister or with the Director General has got clear stipulated outputs and reporting structures and what the responsibilities are. And a lot of those issues are prescribed in the performance agreement. So it's not something that you would go and put the content of in an act. That's, we also have our regulatory frameworks that we deal with some of those issues. But on an individual basis for reporting, that is clearly defined in the performance agreements.
That is what you are not clear about. You are not understanding about conduct. So this is the act, and then you can't just give it a principle when you don't know what it will take. Maybe I'll take your view, Chair, that let them not at least share those with us and see the contract, how it is going to go. Because our interest is to see the structure of reporting, how this structure is going to go. I know you might be happy with this because you've got an insight of even of the other side.
No, I
was
going to propose, Jefferson, that we leave the matter for now, to say it, and come back to it later, at a later stage. As the Embassy is saying, Honorable Mama Maketwa is saying, we're not relevant to debating performance contracts and that type of thing. That will have to be sorted out administratively, and so with the ministers concerned, etc. But for now, this was the question of how the structure would work, and with the view of Professor Winchon that equal work gets done, and that there's no confusion on the question of accountability. It's a very, very important thing. But we're going to leave it for now. We'll come back to the matter later.
Okay, let us
back
it. We'll come back to it. So can you move to clause 7? What are the issues there?
Should we agree with clause 6?
No, we are coming back to it.
No, this is clause 4 and 5 that we were talking about there. Oh, I think we agreed on clause 6.
No, clause 6 is why.
The second thing is on page 33. It is the insertion of a new clause. The second paragraph is included. In any event of a disaster or a potential disaster, call on the South African National Defence Force, South African Police Service, and any other organ of state to assist the disaster management structures, and also by the addition of the word and at the end of the paragraph, basically just completes the sentence in the original act. The purpose of the amendment was to deal with how sectors and spheres of government may cooperate in respect of disaster management, and specifically to make provisions for the National Disaster Management Centre to call on the South African National Defence Force, the South African Police Service, and any other organ of state to assist the structures to in input, Dr. Yodong remarks that the inclusion of the AWF and AWF are an important table to South Nation in South Africa is an important improvement in the Act. So in terms of our response, we welcome this.
Clause 7, any issue there? New clause? Elaboration on the original clause. It can end to the appointment. Okay.
Okay, clause 8 is once again related to the amendment that you will come back to, so I suppose we don't need to deal with that again. It's a consequence of clause 4 amendment.
Okay, now, first of all, I thought that there are no issues there, except for change issues.
Yes, it's about...
And because otherwise we may also have to deal with all that are referring to, so that will be a problem.
Just to clarify, we don't have a problem with the minister being the person responsible for the entity, for the appointments or anything like that. We just want structural clarity.
Okay, then. So then clause 8... is then the amendment proposes that section 22 of the Principal Act is amended by the substitution for the paragraph to say acting in any way approved by the Minister and not the Director General.
Okay.
Clause 9A is on page 25. It is also a new clause. Section 23 of the Principal Act is amended to inform the relevant Provincial Disaster Management Centre of the decision on the classification of the disaster made in terms of a previous paragraph. So the purpose of the amendment is to deal with the detail on how three spheres of government may cooperate in respect of disaster management and disaster risk reduction. And it basically requires the National Disaster Management Centre to inform the relevant provincial centre of the decision on the classification of the disaster. So it basically compels the National Disaster Management Centre to communicate back to the provinces. There were no stakeholder input put on that specific clause.
Okay. Clause 9B.
Clause 9B, page 26. It talks about the disaster when it is a provincial disaster, and specifically A3, Roman figure 3, is a cross-boundary municipality, and the clause is deleted because it's a consequence of the abolishment of cross-boundary municipalities that have been abolished after the promulgation of the cross-boundary municipalities laws repeal and related management act. So it's just to be in line with other legislation.
Any issue there?
No issue. No, nothing there.
Members, any issue? Fine. Possibly.
Clause 10 is on page 27, the document. We are substituting the heading of the Principal Act, and it is about reporting. So the original Act was about annual reports, and we are just generalizing it to say reporting. And then there are subsections that have been included. You say each organ of a state must, on any occurrence leading to the declaration of a disaster, report on a quarterly basis to the National Centre on various kinds of information. Do you want me to go through the specifics?
Not really. I guess members have to be aware. But also, it's because the measure of it, I think we agree.
Yes.
It also ties in the point that was raised on the members to the question line. Okay. Clause 10 seems to be fine.
Clause
11.
Sorry, Chair.
Yeah.
Just under clause 10, under the departmental response, they propose that there are additional elements that be included to address aspects of the Sendai framework. We haven't really considered that. I do think that clause, and I'm on page 29 here, it's about halfway down, it says clause 10E insert 4C, and it's proposed there, and then 4D. I don't have a problem with 4C, but I do have a problem with 4D, because it refers to a specific program of an international framework, and I think that we should be cautious about limiting ourselves in that regard, that we shouldn't refer to Build Back Better, etc., etc. I think we can list measures implemented to how does the Build Back Better to facilitate recovery, rehabilitation, and reconstruction. I don't know, maybe something along those lines, but I do think that if we're going to incorporate it, then we must take out the Build Back Better part, because that's somebody else's program, and they can change the name tomorrow.
Yes, sir.
Just on the Build Back Better, I think the intention what we want to bring in, is that once the disaster has occurred, we suffer the loss. When we consider the reconstruction process, we must also consider what led to the loss, so that when we rebuild, we don't have the loss again. If I can use an example, if the river comes down and it washes away the bridge because we didn't look at maintaining certain aspects on the side of the river, in our process of rebuilding the bridge, the engineers must also look, at what was the leading effects. So the Build Back Better program is, call it a point phrase. So I agree that if the intention is not to use the words, we must find a better way of doing
it. If I can help that, Chair. List measures implemented to facilitate the prevention of similar disasters in the future during the recovery, rehabilitation, and reconstruction process. So something along those lines. But I do think that we should not refer to a specific program. That's all I'm saying. And are we including this as an approved amendment or not? I mean, that's something that's not clear to me at this stage.
Okay.
Thank you for highlighting that. After hearing the stakeholders' input, we thought it's actually quite an appropriate way to make a small amendment. Of course, the Sendai framework was only adopted now in March, and it talks about priorities for the world. And one of the principal priorities is specifically Build Back Better, so that is why we use it like that. And it is for the next 15 years until 2030. There are specific commitments around that, but also specifically on the gender, age, disability, and cultural perspective. We thought it's an ideal place to incorporate that. So, if the committee wants to consider that, we thought we were looking at where would be the appropriate ways to incorporate those issues. So. It is up to the committee to decide if you would like to incorporate that, and we just thought that is an appropriate place to do that.
I thought that Mayhem was saying you'd find a better way to capture the spirit. And I think that's fine. But I thought this one is an international one. Mm-hmm. It would be very fun, though, that we are part of the signing of those international convention agreements and treaties. Surely using it as it is doesn't harm us, because we have signed it anyway to accept it ourselves. And there's no harm really in doing that. I think it's enhancing the bill on that one. On cultural issues, I think it's something that you must look at. Gender, and I think we are putting a lot of issues there. Disability and cultural perspective. And I know again it's
national is a bigger issue now. But I'm not sure how we want to manage this. Maybe we should find a better way to manage. But capturing the essence of the country is one.
Chair, can I suggest that we accept 4C? I think it's a good tool. I think it adds value to the bill. That we provisionally accept 4D subject to a rewording of that bill that paper. I mean, I understand what you're trying to say, but if you give it to the man in the street, will he or she understand, man? Will he understand what is meant by it?
You would understand if you understand the international treaty.
That's the thing, you know, you've got to refer somewhere else to find the principle.
No, I thought that at the principle level we are happy.
I'm happy in principle, I have no problem with it.
The whole issue of gender, age, disability, because we all know that in any disaster women suffer terribly. There's no disaster anywhere in the world that women does. I'm not sure, of course, maybe other countries are advanced. But like in Malawi, even Mozambique flooding, women suffer and children, disabled as well. Because no one anyway will wait for a flood because of a disabled person in the house. Simply run away, leave that person there. And then the bigger issue, I think the capturing issue that are very sensitive, but it's very important for us to enhance. I think the Lebla said we should take 40 and 43, but the wording of it will be very important for that. I think once you find a better wording of it, and then we can then move on that and see whether we are agreeing on that. But I think we are checking it and then build better, build better. I think that is important. That we don't just build a bridge, it's washed away. You build a bridge again,
the bridge away.
You build another one. And then that we should prevent some of these things, build better. That's to ensure that we prevent some of the issues. Honorable Mason?
Is it possible, that we should word it in such a way that we don't prevent in such a way that we don't stop work continuing because of lack of quality. In other words, the bridge is washed away by a river. And then you say, unless we have something better to replace it with, we'd rather not have a bridge at all. So try and avoid that kind of message. I'm the first to say that the infrastructure must be quality infrastructure that would last us many, many years to come at all times. But sometimes there's a need for a makeshift arrangement. Because, you know, kids have got to go to school and there's no river. And if we insist on quality now, you know, nothing may happen. So just make that kind of balance and not convey a wrong message. So I agree with you on quality, yes, that's what we should emphasize on, but the intervention made must not stifle creativity, just to ensure that people, things come to normal life as soon as is possible.
Okay. Well, I think let us the rest meet. Work on the spirit is clear that we think it is very important that you don't build something for to wash away. You build it away, you build it before it was washed away, and then wash away. The temporary arrangement, they separate issue, and they just ensure that temporarily, in terms of people are able to cross the river.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't allow a situation where there's a river end and then there's flooding. You do one the same thing every year. Because the disaster sometimes takes time to fly. That was anywhere. I think we ended up 1985 in Devon, where they claimed that everything was flying.
Mm.
And then all of us who are here now, we can think that will never happen again. Suddenly it comes in and happens. And then that we should just try to do. So I think that's a point. Find a better wording for it. But I think the answer is like that. That we should do that. Cool. Okay. And then of course,
that you can find some of these areas. Which is very rare. I don't even think members of parliament understand all the conventions that we apply. How to open that for science. But very few members of parliament, including ourselves, that we know each and every one of them. And what international issues. I think the product of the society is to fight for ordinary person on the street, because the principle is that all laws in our country must be written in simple language, plain language, to be understood by general population. Okay, let us go to clause 11A. What do you want us to do there?
Legislative, clause 11. Is about disaster management plans for organs of state. So basically the principal act already talks about disaster management plans. What we trying to achieve with the amendment is to ensure that the logical sequence of events is completed. For instance, doing a conducting a risk assessment prior to planning and to ensure that disaster management plans of national organs of state indicate the way in which the concept and principles of the destination are to be applied in the specific functional areas. Then also to provide clarity on the roles and responsibilities of organs of state in terms of the destination. And then an important amendment then is the expanding of the content of the plan by city departments to include disaster risk for functional areas, mapping areas of disaster risk and communities vulnerable to disasters, to provide for measures and also indicate the way how they will invest to reduce the risk of disasters through adaptation to climate change and developing early warning systems. In terms of the stakeholder input, Professor Van Niekerk has acknowledged the significant emphasis on climate change and climate change adaptation within the responsibilities allocated to the various federal governments. He also recognizes that disaster risk reduction, sustainable development and climate change adaptation are inseparable and states that the inclusion into the amendment bill is laudable. The SSC also specifically welcomes the amendment to the bill that requires the incorporation of risk assessments into the disaster management plan, as well as the mapping of risk in communities vulnerable to disasters. Furthermore, Dr. Jordan of the Free State also stated that the innovation of risk assessment as the foundation tool of disaster management activities and plans is praiseworthy. And then, once again, with reference to the recent global adopted CIMA framework, there's a notion for paying particular attention to women, children, and disability in disaster management policies and plans. And we once again made a small amendment in terms of the planning process.
Thank you. I agree with the amendment completely. The additional insertion on page 32, at the end of page 32. Yeah, there's an additional insertion, section 25.1c7. I agree with it, but I'd like it amended, please. So the way I'd like it amended is, if I read from the beginning of the section, section 25.1, each national organ of state indicated in the national disaster management framework must prepare a disaster management plan setting out. And then 7, what I'd like to insert is the word specific before measures, taken to address the needs of women, children, the elderly, and persons with disabilities. And then what I'd like inserted at the end of that clause, Chair, is in the event of a disaster. Because if we don't specify that it's in the event of a disaster, you're saying, well, what are you, your disaster management plan must just address the needs of women, children, and people with disabilities. That could be provision of sanitation, it could be provision of water, etc., etc. I'm just saying that let's focus down onto the issue here, and that is, what specific measures are we taking for women, children, and people with disabilities in the event of a disaster?
I agree that we must focus. I'm just concerned that the focus will then only focus on a disaster. There's a lot of work that needs to be done in preparing for disasters, you know, and the prevention of how to, you know, coach these individuals, what they can also do to prepare. So I think we need to just go and have a look what is the correct terminology to talk, you know, that we include during a disaster, but also the prevention component before that. I mean, that it is not only focused, that a department only they not focus, well, if the disaster happens, this is what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it too narrow. I think we need to broaden it a bit for the education and the environment.
Yeah.
I think what I check this with my colleague, because the heading of Section 25 actually talks to the preparation of disaster management plans. So maybe to confine it to specific measures, it would be too narrow, taking into account the contents of Section 25, the original section.
Okay, let us work on it. We'll find that I shall report in the not diverting from the main principle. So that I am not saying another new act. During amendment, we can then try to select. Can we move to clause 11B?
Clause 11B on page 33. The original clause is a national organ of state must submit a copy of its disaster management plan and any amendment to the plan to the national centre. What we are amending is to substitute the paragraph to also say, provided that a copy of a disaster management plan by a major public entity listed in Schedule 2 of the Public Finance Management Act is also submitted to the National Center, and that includes things like Telkom and Eskom and all those big entities that have a very big impact on disaster management issues.
Also refer to the consortium as organ of state, Eskom, SAA, all these big ones, and then surely they must prepare disaster management plan, and the PRASA must prepare, Transnet must prepare, because I refer to it as organ of state. Sometimes we thought that organ of state is just the parliament, the judiciary, all these organs. There are many, they are big also. They must prepare for these disaster issues. Honourable Mayor?
Chair, I'm just concerned that what happens if a major public entity listed in Schedule 2 does not submit to a national organ of state? In other words, you're saying a national organ of state must submit a copy of a disaster management plan or any amendment to the national centre. That's fine. They've got to do it. Then you're saying a disaster management plan by a public entity which has been submitted to a national organ of state must also be submitted. In other words, if they haven't submitted, then it doesn't have to be submitted to the national centre. My point is that the wording here leaves a bit of a gap. And I would prefer if we said a national organ of state, comma, as well as any major public entity listed in Schedule 2 of the Public Finance Management Act, must submit a copy of its disaster management plan and of any amendments to the national centre. In other words, we say they must. There's no wiggle room.
Okay. coming to, there are two things to consider. In the Principal Act, it already talks about if it is not submitted, section 25.3b, it says if a national organ of state fails to submit a copy of its plan or any amendment to the plan in terms of the paragraph, the National Centre must report the failure to the Minister, who must take such steps as may be necessary to secure compliance with the paragraph, including reporting the failure to Parliament. So there is a provision in that regard. But on top of that, the purpose of the inclusion of the sentence is also to make sure that our usual communication and liaison is with we respecting the parent department. Every public entity has a parent department. So what we want to ensure is that the parent department also receives that copy, and we also receive the copy as the National Centre, so that there is better alignment of the plans.
Well, Chair, I don't have a problem with the intention. I don't have a problem with the communications, etc. What I do have a problem with is the fact that the way that it's worded now, and even if I read Section 25GB in the Principal Act, it says it's a national organ of state. It makes no mention there of a major public entity. So only a national organ of state has to submit its disaster management plan, not the national, so not the major public entity. So my point is that by the way it's worded, the amendment is worded, you're saying that if ESCOM has not submitted its disaster management plan to the Department of Public Enterprises, the department doesn't have to submit it to you. That's essentially what it's saying here. Because, submitted to a national organization. If it's not submitted, then there's nothing to, for the national department to submit. And there's no obligation on the major public entity to submit to the national organ of state. That's my point.
Yeah. I think from the officers yesterday, I think maybe it's better if we amend cross-section 3 to specifically refer to the copies contemplated in the section that we are amending, then it would refer back to that. And then there's the obligation is here.
I think there's no harm for special advisors, for our colleagues that side, to put it that way. You will then have as an argument in hand.
Happy Chair.
So, I think there's no harm in doing that. Department, I think we are happy. And we put it one way or another. Let's go in hand. I think it's simple for you.
This clause 11C on page 34 is a new clause insertion, and it says the National Centre must make available applicable disaster management plans of all the states to relevant provincial and municipal disaster management centres. So once again, it is giving the National Centre responsibility to share information that is applicable across the spheres of government. So it's improving the coordinating arrangement.
Chair, what about and major public entity? I'm just thinking, for example, let's say Coburg, God forbid, blows up. There needs to be coordination at a municipal level. So if we could put in after organs of state and major public entity.
I may be mistaken, but according to my understanding, major public entities are also national organs of state.
Then why are we defining them?
Because there are so many others.
my understanding anyway, all what we call major entities are organs of state in service. I thought that the reason why organs of state, it means all these are the transport, the food, the air, the water, all these areas that are public entities. Major one, in fact, I think of a small public entity. But I think we're talking about open state. I think that's covered by the Constitution. I thought that was what it meant. That everything that's covered by the Constitution is an open state, then there will be part of those that are not private organizations. come back to it. Is there a new idea and want to enhance it? They don't need to really. We are amending the first panel towards 1.2 for implementation purposes. Okay, so can we move to clause?
Clause 12 on page 35. This clause is very similar to a previous clause in terms of including the National House of Traditional Leaders. So the first one was referring to the principal clause of section 25, which referred to national advisory forums, and this is now only referring to provincial disaster management forums. So the arguments are the same, and the amendments are similar. Clause 13. That is on page 36. And once again, that is similar to the clause relating to the national plan. Once again, it's only the provincial plan, the similar sequence and the similar additions in terms of the women, children, and elderly, and so on. Okay, so 14.3 is on page 39. It is an addition of subsection 3 to section 43 of the Principal Act, and it's specifically amended by the addition of the subsection to say that a local municipality must establish capacity for the development and coordination of a disaster management plan and the implementation of a disaster management function for the municipality which forms part of the disaster management plan as approved by the relevant municipal disaster management center, which is then the district disaster management center. The purpose of the amendment will reaffirm the function of municipalities regarding the responsibility to establish capacity for the development and implementation of the disaster management plan for the municipal area. The proposed amendments in the bill seek to clarify and strengthen roles and responsibilities of local municipalities in terms of disaster management. In terms of the stakeholder input, Professor Manika alerts to the varied interpretation of the Disaster Management Act and uncertainties of roles and responsibilities between districts and local municipalities. He welcomes the legal clarity and certainty that the bill seeks to provide. He further indicates that from their research, it is clear that local municipalities often feel left out and disempowered from the disaster risk management debate. In an extensive research project that he referred to for, this, for SALGA, he said that more than half of the local municipality respondents indicated that they are never or rarely consulted by their district structures. He believes that disaster risk management can only be effective at local level.
Yeah.
And
I think we would go to self for the risk research
actually. Oh, okay.
It's a simple matter. All of us are same as empower. When that are issues, of course, we don't actually refer to what the stakeholder. What are the issues there? Part of course is an issue of authority. And the financial tool is how they may get some people. But I think local authority also that are now empowered that they have to plan for.
How do you deal with the issues that raised by SAGA? What is the view of the department?
Yes. The view of the department on this matter, you have responded.
Okay. Yes, I did respond on that. Our argument is that this function is not a new function. It is already been. It has already been there since the Principal Act has been promulgated. It just provides clarity in terms of the disaster management plan. So in terms of the Systems Act, inclusion of municipalities. It must be a core component of the IDP that is specifically required in the Systems Act. And this clause just provides clarity to say that they must, local municipalities must also ensure that the disaster management planning is put in place by the municipality.
Okay, now let us move on there. Aside from that, I think the engagement with SACA would be continuous engagement because they've raised that issue of resources, all this matter. The Fiscal Commission also, I think the Bongani came in, raised some of the issues. But just continuous engagement, also the finance, the Treasury also raised some of the issues there. Generally speaking, that is money somewhere. And, but I think they must continuously meet just to ensure that they finalize some of the issues that they raise. Okay. Let us move on.
In terms of clause 14.4, that is on page 42, that is also with reference to local municipalities, just to say that they may establish a disaster management centre in consultation with the resident district municipality in accordance with the terms set out in a service level agreement between the two parties in alignment with national norms and standards. There were not really issues around that, and it basically just provides for a mechanism whereby a local municipality may establish a disaster management centre in consultation with the district.
Okay. Yes,
to clarify, in a way, the department is using May and March. Because at one point, at one stage, this issue of May and March was interpreted as the case. Why are you using March and May, and how do you define that? Do you define March as a real March as an instruction, or May as a choice? Is that how much is your document?
Yes, in terms of the legislation, must is an obligation, and may is if you want to. It's an option. It gives you the option to do that.
Members of parliament shall not come to the house with a placard.
Must not. Then they can't. But they may not.
They may not. Therefore, it's optional. Must not.
Super clarity in terms of English.
Okay.
This may not and must not. That's a negative. Okay. May not is must not. But must and may is not the same as must not and may not. May, you may come to the house with placards.
Yeah.
It's optional. You must come to the house with placards. You've got to bring your placard with you, and everybody's got to bring it.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not the same. So it's just the negative is not the same as the positive.
Well, let us leave it very important to do that. But you know that they are also put mask and made in charge. I know that the one I was member yesterday at the chief class. That's why they would not be amended.
And must release.
The risk in the municipality and also the size of the municipality. So there are many considerations. Currently, there are quite a number of local municipalities that do have a bit of a structure around disaster management. If we think about Polokwane and Tlokwe and all of those, they've got two or three people dealing with disaster management issues in their local municipality. But the important thing is that the municipality must take responsibility of of coming together, all the departments, because disaster management is such a multi-sectoral function, that all the departments must come together and say, how are we going to deal with it in the municipality? You know, looking at the risks of stormwater, for instance, flooding, you know, how are we going to address flooding in terms of our stormwater system? How are we going to look at ensuring that people don't settle in areas which is at risk of disasters, for instance, in close to rivers and some of that. So it is the organization must come together and decide how they will deal with the issues pertaining to their specific risks.
When you say you may establish a capacity, you don't specify the minimum level of capacity that you need. I don't know whether you're going to deal with this in terms of the regulation. You say this is the minimum, because when you talk about capacity, there has to be a minimum level. When you say there is a capacity that has been established in terms of, or in line with the requirements of the so it's something that I don't know at what point it is going to be addressed. Whether you do it by regulation, it is provided for. Mm. But there has to be some level, some minimum level that you say, now you've established capacity in terms of the requirements of the amendment, right? Otherwise, everybody will just say, no, we do have capacity, we need that capacity. Because this is a new requirement for local municipalities. It was not there before. So which means that there will be some processes to try and establish this capacity. So you must specify the minimum level of that capacity. Of course, other municipalities have been having this capacity for some time. But other municipalities, they don't have. So they will have to start from scratch. So I think it's important that at some point you have to specify the minimum.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I think what's important for us to understand, we need to try and put it into broader government context. Because we are looking for the disaster management plan, which is an output. It's a physical document, you know, that plans on how we are going to achieve these issues. And if we look at the monitoring and evaluation methodology that government introduced, you know, through the, you know, various documents, government is talking about we need to start looking at measuring our outputs, not so much our inputs and our processes. We need to come to the outcomes approach. And by specifying that we are looking after the plan, we are not putting down norms and standards to say, you must have 3 risk officers in every municipality and 5 of these, and 6 of that, and you must do this. What we are saying is, here is a broad process of a plan that we need to provide. And in terms of the Systems Act, in Section 76, the municipality must apply its mind on how they are going to produce the service. And that, there's multiple mechanisms here that the municipality can use. Internal, external, in consultation with other units. The principle being here is that the municipality can apply its mind in how they want to use what is already in other legislation in achieving that output. That may include looking at your fiscal situation, looking at your organizational system to say, here we have a fire service that is already providing a specific. Can we not draw from them to provide this? Or we may assign this to the municipal manager's office. So it's for the municipality to decide on exactly how they are going to achieve this output, working within all the other boundaries that they have. For me, it is then providing space for the municipality. You know, otherwise, if we say you must do it this way, we are limiting, you know, the executive function of the municipality in terms of Section 6.
No, I
cannot
agree with that.
Okay.
Look, on page 39, on clause number 14, which is almost like a new plan, we're saying that
43 plus 14, a local municipality must establish capacity for the development and coordination of disaster management plan and the implementation of the disaster management function. So if a specific requirement says we must establish capacity for the development and coordination of disaster management plan and the disaster management function in the local municipality, something which is not exist before. So this is a new requirement which these municipalities must be able to comply with. I was saying that we need to determine the extent to which this new requirement is going to be applied. That we can only do by establishing the minimum. That this is the level of capacity that we are envisaging. Because this is a new requirement. This is a new. In fact, one of the reasons why Salva was arguing that this is an assignment of a function. I see you are different in this. I don't want to get into that space. But you are saying this is a completely new assignment. You are requiring that this capacity must be there, for which we don't have a problem with. But then you need to determine the minimum, which is something that I think. You must think it through, because just referring to something which was in the previous act, the fact that the previous act was there but this thing was not done, and we want it to be done now, it's indicating of the fact that it could not be done in the previous legislation. So I don't want us to isolate it. So I think maybe we must allow them to think through the thing so that they can be able to give us a response. What will be that level, that minimum level?
Yeah, and then I just wanted to say the establishment of capacity, it doesn't, there's always this concept that when you say establish something, you've got to go and build a new house. The houses exist, it's how you manage the rooms in the house, that's what you have to do. The capacity exists within the municipalities. You've got fire services, you've got risk officers, you've got all these people. It's getting them to do what is necessary to be done. And I think that is what, it's assigning of specific individual specific functions that exist already. So I don't, you know, the establishment of capacity, there's always this notion of it's something new that has to be created. Stuff that exists already.
Okay, then we'll come back to it. We'll come back to the new idea, but then we can come back to the other discussion. We are almost concluding the meeting. The most privileged. Okay, we'll come back to the whole, because that's a real aspect of this issue. But we'll be again discussion at a creative level how do we deal with this problem of use a new function of function local authorities. And then you are on page 42, you are finding the national number status. You are fine on that. Okay. Page 43, cross 15.
Rule 15 is once again the substitution of a heading. Powers and duties. The original clause is powers and duties of municipalities and municipal entities, and the new clause would be powers and duties of municipal organs of state. So it is basically it is consequential to the insertion of the definition of municipality in clause 1 of the bill, referring to the preparation of plans by municipalities in terms of section 52. There were no specific inputs from stakeholders, and
okay.
We don't have any further comments on that.
Okay. Any comments on the duties, power and duties of municipalities or kind of state? And it seems there's no issue there.
Clause 16 is dealt with on page 44. Once again, this clause is similar to the clauses on the national and provincial organs of state to include the traditional leaders in the advisory forum, which was welcomed.
Ammunition, traditional leaders, we have agreed that they must get involved. Okay, I think we are here with that one. Clause 17A, 45.
Clause 17A, that is where municipal entity was removed to say municipal organs of state other than municipalities. It basically just provides for municipal organs of state to have their plans, and also in alignment with the sequence of the provincial and the national plans that we have discussed earlier.
Colleagues, that is a proposed amendment, clause 17A. Any issue there? Since Honorable Masuku is happy, Madam is happy, Maswanda Mdau, Honorable Banga. Finding you now. Decisions that are taken when you are not there find you. That's why coming late in the meeting is very pleasant. Find decisions that are taken, they must find you. Okay, let's move on. 46. Any issue there? There's no issue there.
Chair, same concern
yeah.
as previously
yeah.
about the women and children.
Okay.
Clause 18.
Clause 18.
On page 50.
With 8. Wait, what about 17C?
17C, what
sorry, I thought you already dealt with that. It's just a replacement of municipal
yeah.
entity to municipal organ. Okay.
Clause 18. 50.
Clause 18. The original clause is about the municipality preparing plans, and then what we're trying to see to change there is that is now the municipality as a whole, and it relates to the sequencing as was discussed with provincial and national disaster management plans, and also of municipal organs of state. And once again, the women and children issue and the issue of both that issue.
Honorable Shaban would be very happy to meet her. But they are taking care of the women and personal disability. Okay.
So where does it refer to both that better than that section, Chief?
The proposal.
There's no proposal about fallback better in that section.
That is the issue. Sorry, it was in there. sorry, we just missed out the fallback better one.
I thought that's what we accepted, that we are going to.
Yeah.
You'll work it nicely, but the spirit must remain there. Okay. 50 seems we are fine, Bana is fine.
Okay, then we go to clause 19 on page 52, amendment of section 59. It basically gives provision, or makes provision for the minister to regulate on certain matters, and what we have included in the new bill is to clarify or to regulate on areas, the focus areas of the National Disaster Management Education, Training and Research Framework, and also on issues concerning the declaration and classification of disasters. And I think it's just to make sure that we can clarify certain aspects of the Act through regulation.
Okay. Any points, Happy? Follow my show. And then that's it. arrange them personally?
Verse 20 is just the long title of the act, where we have included the various issues that we've dealt with through the main book.
Yes. Let's move to clause 21.
Clause 21 is the short title and the commencement of the act. Yes, it was discussed under the definition, and what we have indicated is that the current definition of disaster management in the principal act is very comprehensive. If I can take you to, you can just find it on the in the very beginning, clause one, I think, where we discussed the. To the page. Okay. If you go to page 14 of the document, there's a heading that says disaster management versus disaster risk management. What we are saying is that in the principle act, disaster management means a continuous and integrated multi-sectoral, multidisciplinary process of planning and implementation of measures aimed at preventing or reducing the risk of disasters, mitigating the severity of or consequences of disasters, emergency preparedness, a rapid and effective response to disasters, and post-disaster recovery and rehabilitation. So what we are saying is that the content of disaster management in our legislation is very comprehensive, addressing all aspects of disaster risk reduction, response, recovery, and all of that. So we do not want to necessarily change the title of the act just to come in with a new concept or a new word of disaster risk management, because interestingly, the term disaster risk management in the Namibian legislation, which they use as an example, is defined exactly the same as we define disaster management. So we don't want to change the title of the act or the amendment act that is different to the principal act. And then it also has a possible effect on the constitution, where disaster management is actually the term used in the constitution. So we feel that disaster management as it is defined in the act covers all the concerns, including disaster risk management. So that is basically the argument. There's also some other arguments in the document, if you would like to read that, in terms of analyzing each concept, relating it to the UN ISDR terminology as well. So I don't know if that clarifies the concern.
Okay. No, well, the issue related actually is an issue saying we had a view, it seems to have accepted that the way we have defined it here in terms of page 14, it covers all the aspects, even risk reduction, all those areas, all that there's no need to change the title of the field because it's covered in terms of. evaluate the issue that we have. Yeah, if there are new issues, they can also really look at them and see what it is. Yes, sir.
When the noise plan came, it says that quality was consistent. What I remember very clearly is that almost all the experts that we invited were in one agreement. That the definition that we are using, or rather, terminology, is quite accurate. They are no longer even teaching it at university. They have moved away completely from that. They are using a new terminology, a new approach in terms of disaster risk reduction. Almost all of them are using. And I thought that the limitation was the reference to the constitution. And that is the only thing that is keeping us from referring to disaster risk. Disaster management because it is in the process. But if we want to maintain that disaster management, I don't have a problem, but if the point is to move away and to be in line with international standards and new thinking around disaster reduction, we should be able to. We think that it's not necessary for the length of the time to go to work. All the experts are saying that the thing that you are still using here is no longer in line with the thinking around the international
aspects. Just a brief comment. Disaster Risk Reduction, if we call this the Disaster Risk Reduction Act, it only focuses on the one aspect of it. Whereas if we talk about, and maybe it's a case of disaster risk reduction and disaster management, but the definition incorporates disaster risk reduction, preventing or reducing the risk of disaster. That right there says disaster risk reduction. So, you know, my opinion is, at this point, it's arose by any other name still arose, you know? What's in a name? It's the content that's important. I mean, I've heard all the concerns and I understand international best practice and so on and so forth. And maybe when it comes time to replace this with a new act in 10 or 15 years' time, we can change the name. But as things stand right now, we are amending the Disaster Management Act. We're not amending the Disaster Risk Reduction and Management Act. I think we should leave it as it is, but you know which act, which principal act we are amending.
Well, the point that we are raising here on is that we have covered at the definition level all the concerns that were raised by professors that covered there. And then at a certain point, we have to adapt it to the international way. It can happen as you are saying, 10, 15 years down the line, you can do so. But as it stands now, we have dealt with the question of risk reduction, all those matters in terms of the definition. Simply means that, in fact, ours is much more comprehensive than many other acts that are there. And then I guess that's something that we're not concerned for.
Yeah.
Mine
is that I'm not a lawyer, but it does not convince me an argument that we used to say that because the constitution terminology in as far as direct management is concerned, that we cannot an act of parliament which is demanded by the constitution to be established can have an impact if it's renamed to try to come out of the constitution. The constitution, according to my narrow view, prescribes a function which is direct management. How we name the act does not have necessarily a connotation to the constitution. I know I'm not a lawyer, but I'm using a common sense that I have. Therefore, that argument does not go to the constitution. Therefore, there are many legislations. There are many legislations that are established to manage the service by the constitution, but they are named differently. Therefore, there's no real argument.
we must not downplay the argument that he used to say. Our view of climate change comes first. Our approach as the world in terms of climate change is not to manage to reduce the effect of climate change in the world. That's why the approach of education and programs is to make sure that we reduce that. Therefore, scientists bringing the concept of risk reduction is not just a semantic. It's based on the approach of the university. Therefore, when you establish a native country, giving it a name, you're elevating a function. If you want to elevate a function, that begins to say, want to deal with the risk. That's an intention. Therefore, I'm saying, if you cannot die, you're not going to die, the naming is risk management. As well as what Chairman is saying, we might not die to name a risk management. Because there is no fundamental impact that is going to make the situation change completely in this country. But I want to put this point because I was 1 month old and saying, listen to society. If our institutions of irony, we must not undermine the impact that they play in terms of undermining policy. Those come as think tanks of institutions informed and in establishing public policy. Therefore, we cannot say because there's an investigation and a research and an argument from a research institution that is downplay that says the rational. Why in terms of international standard that is put on the table? It's a discussion, a scientific discussion on its own in as far as a special process. Therefore, we're not talking about it. Therefore, I might submit in this debate that I push not being convinced, wait for the 15 years, but I think there is a good intention why the risk must be put at the fore in terms of humanity disaster in our country.
Well, our view though was that if you read your page 40, disaster management versus the issue of disaster risk management, you can see that ours covers both in very detailed forms. That's why the COVID is there. Really, let us leave the main target as it was in earlier, because we are covered here. In terms of your A, in terms of your B, in terms of your C, also in terms of your E. Generally speaking, the point that you are raising, you are much more covered than that. And therefore, of course, we can continuously debate at a theoretical level, see what we can do. But in terms of the purpose of amending the bill, the committee says that I think they're covered very well. That's the point that Comrade Field was honorable, the plan was raising also. And it seems we are covered in terms of the definition of the language here. Of course, there will be time sometimes to amend the entire bill and the entire act generally, and I think we can also do that. Even to repeal it at a certain point in time, I guess, would happen. Then those who will be members of parliament at the time, then hopefully, if I'm not still today, 50 years from now, we can then amend it and repeal it again. It was a renewed development. I thought that we're covered because of the explanation, and then legally take ourselves that it covers both the management and also risk structure. That's why we are present. But we have gone to Honorable Barnes from page 14 to the last page, and the team is going to go back, rework it according to our agreement, and then state law advisors are here just to ensure that things are accordingly. And then we'll meet again, I think one meeting, to look at it now. After all these amendments that were proposed, I think the issue of women, personal disability, included the language issue that the Westmeet are going to work it out. And then you come back and then have a last meeting before then we submit it for consideration by the chamber. And these amendments, yes.
Can I make a request saying that the state law advisors are here, but they should clarify for us, just for our own comfort, the functions to local
just to deal with that argument in the space that this is going to be a new assignment, and if it is a new assignment, there is an obligation in terms of the municipal systems act to consult the FSP and to consult the balance of local government. Because if that is the case, then we might hit some snag going forward. So I request that we request them to clarify that for us, give us an opinion on that matter, and then so that we can be able to proceed.
Okay, just to follow up on that?
Yes.
Chair, from what I read and what I heard in the discussion, there was consultation with SELGA and with the FFC, that both of those parties were consulted, but the concern that was raised by SELGA, and it doesn't matter whether it's a new assignment or not, the concern that was raised was that it's an assignment of function, and that in the assignment of function, funding must follow function. That was the argument of SELGA, and that there was no funding following this. Now, in the discussion that we had, it was stated very generically that there's lots of money out there. Well, I've worked in municipal councils, and I can tell you there's not lots of money out there. And then it was stated that it was in the equitable share. And, well, we know that the equitable share is underfunded by 3.56 billion rand just on electricity, which is the biggest component of equitable share. So I don't know that all this money that everybody thinks is out there is actually out there. My concern is not so much the consultation, because I, from what I've gathered from both the department and SELGA and the documentation I've seen, there has been the consultation, but that the funding of this assignment of function has not been put in place.
Sure, but also in addition on what Miriam saying, Honourable Miriam and Honourable Mabulan, on our last meeting with the fiscal department and also the Coctor department, they also mentioned the issue of there were several hours of meetings that we meet with SELGA, and then we also agreed that the department and SELGA, they were also going to continue with their meetings based on that issues. Only the addition shows that they were also shows us that this is not the new function, but the function was already there as was given to district. Also in other municipalities, that function was already happening in that municipalities. And they've given an example of other municipalities that this function was already there in municipalities. And then also addition that, but it's not final today, Chair, that we are meeting with the department and the social management in this matter. They've agreed that on our next meeting also, these things will not continue, we'll get more information on this. But the member of parliament must know this notice, new functions, because it's the amendment of the bill, because the bill is already there. The act is already there. We're just amending some section of the bill.
No, Chair, for me, is that you see, the department is also coming with one amendment that is presented when Salta was here. There's nothing much has changed in the prison. But we have consulted them, they've been part of the thing, they know that it's much. I think the consultation must continue with Salta, because we are not getting anything new, because while they were presenting the discussion that they were there, even the process that was followed. We are not convinced. I'm sitting here and still not yet convinced to get something that shows that no processes were all fine, followed, and the discussion is complete. I think if you can manage that part of consultation, continue the consultation with SELGA, it will assist us going forward. Because we don't want a dispute towards the end of the whole thing. So that's to me. And also find a way to address the issue of this function with the funding. I know you don't want to talk about funding now because it's not a money thing. I don't think that it's helping us. But find a way, if this function has been assigned, it is there in terms of the act, but it's true that it has not been implemented for many years. But how are they going to fund it? The those discussions must have triggered them so that it doesn't create some blocking, some blockage towards the end.
Let us just
that's in conclusion. I think the crux of the issue, which I think the state law advisors must advise, is really whether this is a new assignment. Because if it is a new assignment, then it has to be done in line with the requirement of the suspension. Where you know functions follows, what is that?
Money
for expansion. So there has to be also an assignment of, or the allocation of money to that. But if it is not in line with the argument of the department, then SALCA was consulted, the FSC was consulted, and it's not a problem. Even though we are still at that, the level of consultation with SALCA, it might not be easy about this and that. But that is not going to affect the money part of it. There is not going to be any obligation on the part of the department to allocate more funding through the share or whatever mechanism that the department can do. But the cut range is whether this is a new assignment or this is not a new assignment, if the local municipality already has this obligation. So that is really the cut of it.
Okay. I want us for this to close. I'm just worried now that we are going to debate this matter.
You still remember that you promised us that when we finish this thing, we are going to go to that discussion. It is not proper that you write a lot of legislators who are sitting here. All many legislators starting from there are confused about this aspect. We can't move the cheese. We are legislators here, ourselves are confused, and they are confused, federal ones here. At the end of the meeting, I asked that lady, where are you going to get that money? The money is all over the country. Just to try and manage house we fund. Therefore, I'm saying we have to discuss this aspect. We can't keep the conversation to Parliament. You are confused yourself. I'm confused. We take it to Parliament. You know, we must speak to Parliament. Just a thing. We must speak to Parliament.
For us and the department to meet and have a discussion on this matter.
persuade them also to know whether there's this money to implement it or not. Because I can do that, like, no, we're concerned, but we are not here to receive. Give us money to give us pension. I think the point that you were raising. When you say that at the political level, simply the minister level and faculty leadership, you must discuss this issue. Because treasury says that there will be no new resources anyway, because there's money already for that work. They've got ambulances, they've got the fires, extinguishers, water, people there. Generally, they were acting that way. The treasury, Bongani from the FSC, and then I think we can still work on this matter very well. And we are going to raise, I think, the state law advisors. Maybe you want to comment on that?
Okay, we can draft some sort of an opinion for the committee. We can look at it and look at all the legal issues.
Okay, if I can do it, it doesn't take too much.
No, we will make sure that it's ready for the next week or
that's what we're working on. But the continuation, whatever issue, the communication and continuation and engagement must continue. Because that also must be persuaded, because the members must implement it. They shouldn't have a situation that the act is amended and there's no money. And then what we are saying that we must work it out. And balance correctly. You can't say in Kalisha we must implement something when there's no money.
We must also look at the engagement between Honorable Nadia and the official from the President of Science Engagement.
What was in the meeting? Then we have the committee we have agreed in terms of the definition. We have amended it accordingly, all the clauses. 21 clauses have been amended accordingly. And I think we accept them. We have agreed that the team is going to work it out, put the issue of women, personal disability, capture it well. And then this is a build back better, capture it well, the intention of do that. So that is the language issue that colleagues are going to work it out. Then we're going to meet. As we meet, then we finalize it. Once we finalize it, then we submit it to ATC. From ATC, then go to the chamber. They say whatever time that the programming committee agrees, then we have investigated and we agree on that. Yeah, I think we should.
And there's this one little issue, the whole question of accountability.
The reporting.
And that the next presentation of that and so on.
But I think we are true in terms of the meeting. And we are still going to work out the policies of the school. But I think in terms of the Department of Health is very well though, in terms of pressure in the community. The most easier thing to do. So don't have to repair many things once. The original one, what is amended, is very easy for us. What is the command and the all these matters. And then of course, the reason why we call people to come is to enrich the process of decision making. No, we have taken some of the easy other places. It seems we are fine, and then we deal with that after the issues. In our next meeting, we finalize it with the language issue. And then we'll be ready. Can we attend the meeting? I invited for tea.
Sheree, do you have the document on your email? Not the long one. Okay. If I have not got it, can you get it?
I'm saying, 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 I'm saying,
I think you're going to do it.